I'm a zombie! I've been bitten!
You're listening to the Survival Podcast for zombie nerds everywhere. Is Zombies Ate My Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Zombies Ate My Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Murphy, and joining me as always is the busy zombie lord, Lou Page. How's it going, Lou?
I'm surviving. I apologize to listeners now. I'm going to try to mute my mic, but I still have COVID cough.
Oh, brutal. I remember when I had COVID, the cough kind of lingered. Seems to be a common trend. It's not...
Absolutely.
It's not fun. It's not fun. And also not fun, Lou and I discovered that we will not be watching 28 Days Later on our next episode.
We can't. We actually just can't.
Yeah. Like, it's not a choice.
It's not a choice. Apparently, they've chosen not to sell or rent 28 Days Later anywhere. If you even look it up on Just Watch, it literally says this title is not available anywhere. Would you like us to let you know when it's available? I'm guessing that this has something to do with the announcement of the new movie in the works, that they're trying to, that some streaming service is going to have the exclusivity for the next like year and a half till the new one comes out or something.
Yeah. Like Sony, it's a Columbia Pictures thing, right? Because it's with Sony, which they have. They have like an extended deal with Disney after Netflix. So their stuff goes to Netflix and their stuff goes to also there is like a Sony Pictures streaming thing with PlayStation. And so maybe it's there. Anyways, we looked, and as you said on Just Watch, it says nothing. It's nowhere. Obviously you could buy a physical disc. Best I could do was finding a DVD combo pack with 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later. But since 28 Days Later is like, we can't find it. And also if listeners at home want to watch along with us, like it also makes that difficult as well. So we decided that we're going to watch 28 Weeks Later for our next episode.
Is that streaming in several places?
Yeah, it's on Hulu in the States. It's on Disney Plus here in Canada. So it's not what we wanted to do, but it's along the same lines, you know? And yeah. Maybe later this year we'll be able to watch 28 Days Later. We'll see. We'll see. But with that unfortunate news out of the way, it's not like the end of the world. We'll get to watch something in the franchise, but hopefully closer to 28 years later, 28 days later, will become more readily available. So we'll keep an eye out. Lou, we've got a fun show planned tonight. We're going to talk about The Ones Who Live, the much anticipated return of Rick and Michonne, maybe the less anticipated return of the CRM. But
yeah,
I don't know it. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it. It's just the premiere. If you're listening to this later on, this is just the premiere episode. We're discussing 1/6 of the series. And we will have, more The Ones Who Live coverage in a couple of episodes.
Yeah. We'll wait for it to finish.
Exactly. And you know, if Lou and I are watching as we go, we'll do some quick updates, but until then, let's talk about the news.
The virus has completely devastated over 150 of the world's major regions and then is spreading rapidly.
All right. If you are a fan of zombies like we are and a fan of video games like we are, and you wondered, hey, Ryan and Lou never played Dead Island 2. Which was a major release last year. Well, good news. It's actually just been added to Xbox Game Pass in a sort of a surprise launch. It wasn't on anybody's radar. This was just sort of shadow dropped onto Game Pass. And this is Xbox Game Pass, not PC Game Pass. It's only on Xbox, available to Ultimate subscribers. So I don't have Game Pass right now. I'm currently not subscribed, although chances are I will resubscribe in the near future. So this was a fun one to see. Like, I was actually anticipating that Dead Island 2 would launch, and it did get favorable reviews, you know?
Yeah, I've heard good things. I've heard that it's decent. I don't have anything that runs it.
Sure.
And it wasn't available on Steam at launch. I think it was in wasn't it an Epic exclusive for a while?
It
was Epic, I think. It was an Epic. And I was like, not like I can play it on my Steam Deck. I don't, getting Epic games on Steam Deck is not easy, and I don't think it was Steam Deck compatible then, and I think it's still not now. So
yeah, it will be launching on Steam April 22nd, 2024. There's no listing for Steam Deck, although mind you, if you know there is ways to get the Epic Game Store games running on Steam Deck, although it's not like the best way to do it. So maybe it will be compatible with Steam Deck. I know Dying Light 2 was, you know, it was able to run it.
I've been tempted to dip back into Dying Light, but I don't know. I have too many games on my plate right now.
Yeah. Oh, I feel you.
Including one that I may or may not be able to talk about for the show, because it may or may not run on this laptop.
Yeah, well, let's jump around. Let's talk about that. I found this article on PCGamer.com. If you like collecting critters in Pal World, how about collecting zombies in this co-op survival game? And it's a preview for Paradise with a Z instead of an S. We talked about this previously. Still haven't figured out what the game reminds me of. There's a specific game in my brain that I still haven't been able to fish out. We even tried pre-show to figure it out. We couldn't. So
yeah,
I'm going to leave that. Not going to go down that rabbit hole again.
No,
but
no.
Essentially, it is a top-down isometric survival game where you are collecting zombies to do your bidding, right? That's the general theme of it?
You're killing zombies, but then you're also collecting zombies.
Yeah.
And then you can like make them like your minions to do stuff. Like, it looks like this has a lot of potential to be fun. I only grabbed it, and I grabbed it without even thinking, because Fanatical was doing a sale, like it was like a 24-hour sale over the weekend, and it's, this game is normally coming out for $30, and it was like $19 for the weekend, and I was like, for $19, it's a new zombie game. That's something it looked interesting enough that I was like, all right, maybe I'll give this a shot for the show. Only to realize after I bought it that I might not have enough RAM in this laptop to run it, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and Lou, you're going to love this. So I'm looking at the Steam page. The only reason I clicked on is because the PC Gamer thing was saying there might be a demo. I don't see that there's a demo for this game. However, I saw there was a bundle. So I click on the bundle information. It says, oh, one of two items in this bundle. You already own one, so you get an even deeper discount if you want to buy Paradise. I click on bundle information. Guess what game it's bundled with, Lou?
What?
How to Survive 2, which is the exact game I've been trying to remember. There was two of them. It's called How to Survive. It was an isometric, top-down survival game with mutants. We figured it out. So there you go. I feel better now. Do you feel better? I personally feel like there's been a blockage lifted.
I feel better for you, man. Feel better for you.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got there. Now we are good. But
it's probably by the same people too, right? Is it the same team?
It looks so similar. I couldn't tell if it was the same folks, but the developers are what is it here? It's Echo Software. And yeah, it appears as though they are the developers behind How to Survive 2. I could have easily solved this last episode if I had just clicked through. So there you go. But yeah, so they've got a bunch of stuff here. They are the developers of How to Survive 2. I don't know who developed How to Survive. It might not even be available to purchase anymore. So anyways, that's available now. Paradise with a Z. It is up to four players in co-op. That sounds kind of fun. There are a lot of weapons you can craft and scavenge, including shotguns, rifles, flamethrowers, freeze rays. And there are plenty of ways to defend yourself with traps, mines, and decoys that you can scatter around your base. Sounds like there's like a base survival part to it as well. You can build your base, gather resources, and even shuffle around in the garden to plant and harvest crops. So it seems like there's a lot going on in this game. So, interesting. I hope your laptop runs it, because I'd like to learn more about this one. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, no, if it doesn't, I may see about upgrading the RAM in it.
There you go.
I might. Because 8's a little too little.
8 is, 8's out the door. I think 16 is the new minimum these days. And it's only going to climb. Yeah. But, we have one more news story here, and this is a new film that is going to be releasing at some point in 2024. Horror comedy We Are Zombies lands at Screambox. I did a bit of research on the film, so I can talk to that, but what's Screambox? Should I know what that is?
Oh, you don't know what Screambox?
No.
Really? Oh, okay. Screambox is another Shudder-like streaming service that is all horror-related. They've only popped up in the last couple of years. Like I think they popped up like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, during in the middle of the pandemic. And for a while they were super, super cheap. I don't know what the price is for them now, but it was like I know when they first launched, a lot of people were trying it out because it was like $1.99 or $2.99 to stream to get access to it. And they have some good stuff from what I've heard. They're picking up a bunch of exclusives. Hearing they get some zombie stuff, it means I might have to try Screambox.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't venture outside of like the standard, the big streamers. But now I'm looking at this, and yeah, Screambox. So it does look familiar. It has a lot of like older horror films, but also has some newer stuff that they have exclusive. As you said, like a lot like a Shudder style thing. So. Yeah, they got lots of different stuff here. So, We Are Zombies, funny enough, it's actually a French-Canadian film that is based on a comic series from France, which is called, I had it up, The Zombies That Ate the World. That's the comic series. So, I didn't know anything about this, including the fact of what Screambox is, so I appreciate you filling me in on that, but... This is a zombie film that had its worldwide premiere at a festival in September of last year and has now been, as you said, picked up by Screambox and will likely be released this year. This is kind of cool. Like, it's a horror comedy. It's got a cast that you might be familiar with from other shows. The cast features actors from Clash, Riverdale, and Moonfall. So some well-known projects, but the movie follows three slackers looking to make easy money in a city infested with the living impaired, also known as non-cannibal zombies. They must fight small-time crooks and an evil megacorporation to save their kidnapped grandma. Sounds like quite the plot, Lou.
It sounds like low-budget craziness.
Yeah. We're going to have to add this one to our watch list for sure.
Yes, we are. I'm going to have to price Screambox soon.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll keep an eye on that one. We Are Zombies, going to be landing at Screambox later this year. So look forward to that. Now, Lou, we can get to our main topic, which is The Ones Who Live. Let's talk about it after this.
Is this the end of it and the start of something else?
It's the end. And the start.
Welcome to the CRM.
Ones Who Live, The Walking Dead, Rick and Michonne return. This series is going to tell a love story between Rick and Michonne, changed by a world that is constantly changing. Will they find themselves in a war against the living, or will they discover that they too are the Walking Dead? Thank you, IMDb. That's perfect. So this series, we've just watched the first episode. It focuses primarily on what has happened to Rick since the bridge incident. A lot is covered in this first episode, and we are going to dive into it all, as we have been anticipating the return of these characters for quite a while. And I just want to start with that music you heard, because honestly, like, as much as people give The Walking Dead shit for different things, and sometimes good things, like, I find their orchestral work, you know, starting with Bear McCreary's The Walking Dead theme. I don't know if Bear McCreary came back for this, but that theme kind of fits the themes of the show. You know, like, they're telling a love story. It's still epic Walking Dead zombie sort of stuff as well that you can feel in that theme. But you feel like that, you feel like the love, you know, you feel the love, you feel that bombastic action, you know.
I'll be honest, when we got ready to watch this, my first feeling was, I'm either going to love or hate this. There's not going to be any middle ground. And it started, and I was like, oh boy, here we go. And from the first moment, and I had read a couple of reviews, not a lot. And most reviews were pretty middling on it. And then one or two reviews were just like, why does this exist? And I was like, oh boy, I don't know what I'm in for. And I was pleasantly surprised the whole way through. We get a big surprise right off the bat. There is something from the comic that is right here in this that I was like, it took them 11 years, but they got there. They got there.
Yeah. So the specific moment you're talking about, so the show kicks off sort of with a bunch of flashback clips, basically catching us up to why Rick is where he is. Then we see him in a room where he's contemplating suicide. And then it sort of flashes back again to this scene where he is part of this group of, we find out later, consignees who are basically working to enter the city of Philadelphia, right? I have that correct. It's Philadelphia, the city there.
Yeah.
Okay. And so essentially he's on this line and he's trying to escape. We find out later he's tried to escape four different times to go back to his family, which we knew and we hoped would be a central focus of this story. Because, of course, it's Rick. If he's still alive, he's going to want to get back to his family. And there's this moment where he is on this, like, revolving fish line thing attached to his hand via, like, a locked handcuff. And he realizes the only way he's going to be able to escape here is to chop off his hand, Saw style, you know? Well, not Saw style. He uses a hatchet, but... It brings Rick up to comic accurate Rick without his hand. Because my understanding, he loses it. They chop it off in the comic because he gets bit, is my understanding.
Yes.
So, yeah, I thought, like, because it was interesting when they had the, I think it was after, was it after Rick left? Or no, it was, Rick was still on the show and Aaron lost his hand in a logging accident, if I recall correctly, gets smashed,
yep,
doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah. 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 It got smashed. And I think he also got bit and then they ended up having to take his hand.
Yeah. So Aaron kind of got the Rick hand. And I remember in interviews, it was all like, yeah, well, you know, we like to mix things up. And, you know, I wonder if, and I think even Andrew Lincoln was like, yeah, it was supposed to be me, but they gave it to Aaron. It's fine. I get to walk around without a, you know, a fake hand. So I get freedom of movement. So they kind of caught Rick up on that aspect of it. They chopped off his hand. And I think that works really well to show how far he will go to escape, because he realizes, like, the only way he's escaping is to get this thing off my hand, and the only way to do that is, it was brutal, like, that whole moment, like, And it was realistic in the sense that he didn't get away. He lost a lot of blood and he was unable to escape. Like he basically fainted from loss of blood. So I was glad that they didn't like try to make him seem like a superhero. Like he lost a hand with no medical supplies, and of course he fainted and he was recaptured. But I love the title screen we get right before that, 5 years after the bridge, you know, as an incident. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a major incident in The Walking Dead, that bridge moment where our heroes lost their fearless leader. So it makes sense to kind of like mark it as such. Lou, how did you feel about, so now that we've gotten to this point, we have the first episode, how did you feel about that aspect of like Rick being stuck in this with the CRM and unable to get back to his family?
Like, I was worried as to what his motivations. I was like, it's been years. How are they going to make it so that he doesn't go back? Because there's got to be a reason why he doesn't go back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my big concern was, what are they going to use as his motivation? And really, the motivation is, we know where your family is, and if you leave, they all die.
Yeah, like we know where you're going, basically.
Like that's a pretty big motivation. And they make a point of talking about how, you know, you've got enough ammunition to firebomb a city. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you're like, wait, if they've got that much firepower and he runs away and they find out, someone might find out where they're located, they would just bomb Alexandria and everybody be dead.
Yeah. Yeah. They, and they even address it, like, you know, I don't remember the guy's name, but the main army dude who is like recruiting Rick and this other character to basically infiltrate the CRM and change it from within. And we'll circle back to that. He says, I know you see the bombs going out and they never come back. You know, like they talk about Omaha, the incident that we saw in World Beyond. So they address World Beyond. They talk about the alliance between Omaha, CRM, and I can't remember what the other place was. But they do talk about Omaha, you know, basically being wiped out. And they talk about the reason CRM keeps things so secret is to protect this fully functioning city of hundreds of thousands of people. I'm not super familiar with the city of Philadelphia. Like, I don't know if you are, Lou, like if that's like, is it surrounded by water? It must be on like,
I think it's near water. I've never been to Philly though, except the fly-in.
Okay. Right.
I've changed planes there before, but that's the extent of my time there.
Okay. Yeah. I should have looked it up, but it sounds like it's got, it sounds like it's set up well. And basically the idea is, so basically how this show breaks down and how they kind of reel Rick in is, first and foremost, like he's unable to escape. And I think he realizes that if he doesn't play ball, he's just going to die. Like they're not going to kill him. They don't want to kill him because there is someone protecting him within the military, the higher ups. And we learned that this, I'm going to pull up his name, because honestly, I should know it. He's a major character that, unfortunately doesn't, last the whole episode. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's not John, is it? No. Oh, no. Never mind. That's the actor's name. Donald, Okafor. Okafor is the character's name. And he is, basically recruiting Rick Grimes and Pearl Thorne to basically become leaders within the CRM to change it. Okafor believes that the CRM has the right idea, but is doing it incorrectly. And we saw that with how the CRM deals with their secrecy to a point where they will wipe out hundreds of thousands of people. We saw that in World Beyond with Omaha, where they basically... I can't remember. Honestly, like, the World Beyond is such a terrible concept It's a terrible execution of an interesting concept, in the sense that they just wipe Omaha off the map for what reason? They don't give a good one.
They don't give a good one. The idea I got from watching it was that they had run out of their usefulness. They weren't getting the results that they wanted from Omaha, and the scientists there were not making the breakthrough strides they wanted to. And they were having to send too many soldiers to handle the zombies in general. Decided to just sacrifice them all, so that take the ones that they thought would be helpful, and then just leave the rest to get wasted. And they couldn't just abandon them, because anybody that lived would be able to tell them where the CRM are. And now, if everybody dead, nobody can say where the CRM is.
Yeah. And I mean, it's shaky logic for sure, but I understand. Oh, yeah. Like that's how it was explained in World Beyond, and we did not like it.
I liked how quickly they talked about Omaha. They were like, it's like a conversation between him and Pearl, and it's like, we gotta look into that. And then they never talk about it again.
Yeah, but it makes sense, right? Because it's a thing that happened. Obviously, the CRM knew of it and had reported it to their citizens, as we saw it explained in World Beyond, by the evil mustache twirling bad guys, in that it was, the walkers got through, a wall failed. It's like, really? Like, okay. But so they talk a bit about that, and I think that's part of what Okafor is talking about. It's like, we formed these alliances. This was a good thing. We saw it as a good thing, but all of a sudden, like, we're taking out our allies, you know? This is not what he signed up for, and we later find out that Okafor is the reason that Philadelphia is still standing and wasn't bombed, because he was the military flight. I don't know what you would call it. Like, was he in a helicopter? I assume he was in a plane.
He was in a helicopter or a plane, and he was going to be the one that dropped the bombs on the city.
Yeah.
And instead he said, I had to make a choice. And I dropped the bombs on the Marine base, even though my wife was there. So basically he tries to explain to Rick, so I get it. You want to get back to your family, but we all have to make sacrifices. So shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a really good sort of explanation. I really liked Okafor, and he was the one who dropped. He says, "I dropped the bombs on Atlanta. I dropped the bombs on LA. And when it came to Philadelphia, my wife called me and says, like, we're down here, and I don't want to go into Philadelphia and kill everybody. Essentially, they were invading the city." And he said, and he basically decided to drop the bomb on the Marines, as you said, and the city was saved. And I think Terry O'Quinn also explains a little bit about how Philadelphia is standing, and that the Pennsylvania Guard sort of took it over, a militia, I guess. And I just, you know, we give Walking Dead a lot of crap for hand waving, but they did a really good job at explaining why everything was happening and why this CRM city is so well set up and makes sense within the overall world of The Walking Dead.
And they do a good job of kind of giving you a vibe of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And they cover a lot of ground. Like, they essentially covered like a decade, because Rick has been gone for a while.
Rick has been gone like 7 or 8 years at this point. And again, they cover all this stuff, and it all perfectly makes sense in the grand scheme of things. Like, I was like, how are they going to have all this? And there wasn't anything that they hand waved that I didn't believe. It all fit. The puzzle pieces all fit together in a way that made sense. It was compelling. It's just, there were things about it I didn't like. But nothing that I was going to lose sleep. Just a couple things where I was like, this is getting a little too complicated. This plot line's getting a little too complicated. I didn't like how they killed Okafor at the end of the episode.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. It was a bit of a surprise. So they're flying, and this has come full circle. Rick has basically accepted that he has a new role. He is unable to leave the CRM without putting his family in danger. So he's decided to use what he's been given to fix where he is, essentially. Which I think is makes sense. You give Rick an opportunity like that, and I think it makes sense that his character would take it. So he basically becomes a helicopter operator. We see him training in like a Microsoft flight simulator on CRTs and stuff. Yep. I love that. And there's like this exploding bullet that penetrates the helicopter and kills Okafor and then like explodes the body. And the helicopter crashes. Everybody's killed. There's whom we know to be is Michonne is doing the killing. And then she gets up to Rick, takes off his mask, and then we get the reunion, which I labeled here as explosive because of the helicopter crash. But that's where the episode ends. You know, Michonne finds Rick after taking down I'm assuming not a random helicopter. Like, she knew what she was doing.
I think she knew what she was doing. I don't think she knew Rick was on there. I think the plan was to find the last guy left alive and him as to where to go.
Yeah. We are obviously missing a huge chunk of the story here with Michonne's side of the story. I think Michonne's side of the story is
next episode.
Yeah, it's episode 2, but I was also going to say that is a shorter journey. Like, there's less to catch up on because I think Michonne caught on that Rick was alive after the time jump. So there's like a 5 to 7 year jump there where she left. Did she leave after the whispers or before?
After.
Yeah. Yes, I think
she
you're right.
She left just before the whole last arc in the
Commonwealth. Who was
she left just before the Commonwealth plot line.
Right. Yeah. So she left right before the Commonwealth, and that makes sense. Like, I remember, yeah, the whispers. She was not a fan. So she reunites with Rick. That's where the episode ends. Next episode is to focus on Michonne. So we get her side of the story. I'm assuming she catches wind that this CRM has Rick based on some stories she probably gathers from people out in the wild. And then that leads to her shooting down a helicopter, and getting very lucky. We don't know, obviously. Maybe she has intel that was Rick's. I don't think she would have shot it down if she knew Rick was in it. So I don't think that's the case.
No.
But pretty reckless if you're shooting exploding bullets into a helicopter to try to take it down. Maybe she didn't mean for it to hit Okafor, but I really like that character and the fact that he wasn't. Like, here's the biggest issue I had with World Beyond was that they made the CRM to be, mustache twirling evil. And that was the case.
And they never explain much.
No, but in The Ones Who Live, the CRM isn't that, or isn't portrayed that way. It's portrayed as this organization that is trying to protect what is likely the last big city in the United States of America. And it's a functioning society. We see a bit of what's inside the CRM, which for the first time, like, you know, some citizen life, and it doesn't appear to be all bad, but there's obviously it's The Walking Dead, and maybe they won't focus on that, but it seems like there is a good life to be led in Philadelphia. But of course, like, you have to earn your way in. Like, you have to essentially work for 6 years on the outskirts. But even then, it's not all bad. We see some scenes where I love that they gave Rick a friend, and I did clip this with Rick and his buddy talking.
Hey, Esteban. Yeah.
Can I touch it? Nah, just playing. Jokes, man.
I forgot. This was right after he cut his hand off and Esteban was asking, oh, you actually did it. So I love that moment. And I mean, they're, you know, it's a nice part of town. Like the outskirts, like when you think of the outskirts, you think of like the Commonwealth and like the outside of the city. It's not like that. You know, it appears to be like a fully functioning and proper place to live, you know, like, and I like that sort of interaction between those two characters, because like I think he also goes on to say like, hey, you wouldn't even talk to anybody for the first 2 years and I just kept trying and now we're best friends, you know. And
yeah, and not only that, but his character brought some lightheartedness that the rest of the episode kind of needed.
Yes.
If not for him, the episode would have been pretty dark from beginning to end with no like, it would have been hard to like.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot of levity to it. And I think I understand now why this took so long, because it really feels like they spent a lot of time making this series work. And there's no, I don't have anything like negative to say. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad Rick is back. We have him and Michonne for 6 episodes. I'm not sitting here counting on us getting more, whether they, you know, retire the characters and they live peacefully elsewhere, or they kill Rick off, or they kill Michonne off. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I know you and I talked a bit on Discord today about like what our thoughts are and what happens next, but let's do a bit of prediction time. Lou, like, how do you see this going? Because like in the first episode, Rick is out.
I think this is where you and I are going to disagree.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think Rick is sold on joining the CRM, but I think once him and Michonne get their stride, I'm guessing next episode will be him and be Michonne's story and how she got to where Rick is. The episode is going to be the two of them collaborating and trying to figure out what they're going to do. And then I think the next 3 episodes are going to be Rick goes back to the CRM, because there's clearly a bigger picture that the CRM he's been told that he get to the upper echelon of CRM so that he can see the bigger picture, because what's his name? I can never remember who's the guy that recruited him?
Okafor.
Okafor says to him that the bigger picture to be seen by somebody like Rick, not the people that are there now. And I think Rick is intrigued enough that Rick knows that there's something bad going on, that if Okafor wanted him there, then it means that there's something that even Okafor is questioning, and he needed help from somebody inside.
Yeah.
And I think that Rick knows that. I don't think Rick is going to run. If Rick runs, then we're going to just get what they said. They're going to hunt Rick down and they're going to blow up the Commonwealth and Alexandria and all of them. And I don't think we're going to get that. I will be very surprised if we see anybody from the main show besides him and Michonne at this point.
Yeah. I think that you have, I think you probably have the right take on this. The fact that we know there are people that we've seen from The Walking Dead still with the CRM. I forget her name. Anne, I think her name is. She was in The World Beyond as well. And she's like a high-ranking officer. And she was the one that saved Rick originally. And she is going to be in this series. So she knows Rick very well. And if Rick escapes or appears to escape, she's going to assume he's escaped. She's not going to believe he's dead, and she's going to look for him. And Rick, as you said, knows that the CRM is capable of doing evil things, and knows where Rick is from and knows where Rick will go. So Rick will want to protect his family. That being said, I think Michonne will also want to protect her family and will work with Rick to determine the best approach forward. That, my only concern with that is that it leaves you with four episodes to tell that story and come up with a satisfying end, unless this is a season one and not...
I don't think this is a season. I think this is a one and done, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rick and Michonne make cameos in the other shows now.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, okay, personally, I don't want that to happen because I don't want the drip feed of the Rick and Michonne story and the CRM story. I'd like to see it resolved. I was kind of hoping that the ones who live would resolve the CRM sort of boogeyman story, you know, like the big bad out there.
Yeah.
But I don't see how you wrap it up. And we were surprised to see both Dead City and Daryl Dixon get multiple seasons. And look, I know AMC loves to renew stuff, but this was the most expensive, that had to have been the most expensive spinoff season that they've done. You know, you've got two actors that are, you know, in high demand, especially Danai Gurira, you know, with her Marvel work and everything else. So, I mean, I think you're right. That's the path they're going to take. I'm glad. I'll be hoping that they don't take the normal Walking Dead approach of solving a problem, which is just to basically, like, you know, cut it off at the head type thing. Like, hopefully they can resolve, because the CRM, like, has good people. It's got bad people in charge of some very dangerous things. Do you get the sense that Terry O'Quinn's character is evil, or is he just like...
He's the villain.
You think he's the villain?
He's the villain.
Oh.
I think Rick is going to work his way up, and it's going to be revealed that there really isn't a group of people making decisions. It's going to all be like Terry O'Quinn or Terry O'Quinn's and his underlings, and Rick is going to have to take him out. I guarantee that's where this is going.
Yeah. I mean, that would be an interesting take.
Well... And the only reason I say that is him and Terry O'Quinn have that conversation, and Terry O'Quinn's first answer is like, I'm going to ask you something and you're not going to give me a straight answer. That's okay, but I got to ask anyway, or something along those lines. And he asks, and Rick, of course, says, I don't know what to talk about. You know what I mean? And you could know that he's lying, but Terry O'Quinn's not going to push it. And it's just, Terry O'Quinn always plays a bad guy lately. So, I mean, I don't picture if the CRM has been lined up as a bad. We've if it's not Terry O'Quinn, then who is the big bad that we're going to get revealed to? I don't know who else they can. I don't know anybody else in this that could be the big bad guy.
True. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. Like, I do agree there has to be a person to sort of point to as the bad guy. Yeah, maybe it's Terry O'Quinn. I know him most from Lost, where he is not the bad guy. He's sort of the inquisitive, you know, there's more going on here, spiritual sort of guy. So I'm definitely sort of like affected by that portrayal of that actor, or with that actor. But yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. Like, I think you're right. Like, the rest of the season is CRM, like it's dealing with the CRM, you know. I'd be surprised. There's no way you can walk away from it. It is just an organization that knows too much about Rick and his family. Now Rick and his, or the CRM, like they aren't going out and exterminating civil, like, as far as we know, they're not going out and exterminating cities on a regular basis, but bombs are going out and not coming back. Are they using those to, like, take out herds? You know, we know they use them on Omaha, but, like, there's no evidence that we're not being shown evidence that they're using it, using those tactics to take out other cities. Like, I don't think they're that maniacal. Or at least they haven't. The show hasn't shown that to be the case. But like I'm just trying to think, like, here, like, they, you know, they're not gonna bomb Alexandria because they have Rick. They're not sort of holding that over as a threat, but Rick definitely knows that if he escapes and goes there, they will have to protect the secret, because I think that's the main rule of the CRM, is that you protect the secret of Philadelphia at all costs, and that is the number one rule. And it goes back to the A's and B's. That was this cryptic thing that sort of got explained.
And the answer is so flimsy.
I don't know. I thought this was the best explanation of it.
It's the best explanation of it, but it still feels flimsy to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about that after this clip here, because this was the best explanation we got so far of the A's and B's.
No one's free. Not in this world, but we're alive. You are, and you're not supposed to be. The CRM designates people they find as A's and B's. A's have a strength. A's will die for what they believe in. People follow A's. The people we cross in the world, the few we bring in, they're classified as B's. Everyday people who are just trying to survive. B's get in. A's are sent away and killed, except you two.
So this is Okafor talking to Rick and Pearl about they are A's. We know that Rick was saved by Anne in The Walking Dead by saying, I have a B, I have a B. B's are saved because B's are average citizens just trying to survive. And as Esteban explained, why would anyone want to leave? You know, they are provided protection. They're even doing dangerous work, like taking out zombies, but they are protected to a certain degree. And they earn their way into the city, and they live a constructive and healthy life. And it's like, I understand the B's aspect of it. The A's is essentially like, if they come across A's and the A's learn the secret, they're a threat to that secret. So they right. kill them. But it's also very hard to escape from the CRM because they have resources. And, you know, we saw in The Walking Dead, Rick had escaped, and, you know, when he threw the bag onto that ship that Michonne found, we saw that aspect of it. And, so, you know, they talk about his four escape attempts, and we see hints of it, throughout, but yeah, like, this was the best explanation so far of the A's and B's. And so you were talking, you think it's flimsy, like you think they maybe built it up to be something more than this, and then it became something as simple as like people who will spill our secret and people who will just, you know, accept it because they get to have a protected and well-lived life.
Yeah, I get what they're doing, but they had never really you don't get a real clear answer as to like, why don't they just bring in more people? Like, what makes a bee, what makes them want to take a bee? Sure. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of A's? You'd think they'd just shoot A's on sight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the A's, they don't. So I'll come back to the B's part, because I think you're onto something with the B's. There's some more questions there, but the A's are basically like, if A's discover the CRM, their secrets, A's are leaders, A's are people that that will be followed by others and create communities and stuff. If they're trying to protect their secret, they don't want to bring danger to them by having their secret sort of unveiled. Obviously, Rick isn't going to like cause the CRM anguish by knowing what and who they are. But you can, there are other A's, like the governor, I'm sure is classified as an A, Negan as an A. And those two characters would absolutely try to use that to take over and use the CRM to their advantage. So like, I can see where their logic is with the A's to a certain degree, but the B's, you're right. Like, do they actively seek out B's? You know, do they go and recruit folks? It sounds like they just rescue people they come across. But like, we only have one example of that happening.
Yeah, we only have one example of that happening. Every time we've seen them in everything else, they kill people.
Exactly. They're evil.
That we've been seen, kill them. We've been seen, kill them. And so they're talking about A's and B's, and I'm like, I'll take it for what it is. I'm enjoying the show, and I think the writing is, it's taking a concept that I think is a really poorly thought of concept, and they're definitely trying to explain it, and that's fine. They're not doing a bad job, but part of me is like, yeah, but there's still plot holes here. Yeah. That's okay.
Does it help that Rick kind of agrees with you?
Percentages and yields, A's and fucking B's.
Look, I am just beyond delighted that Andrew Lincoln is back, and we get more of angry Rick Grimes, because, like, oh my God, was it not so great to have Rick back?
It was awesome.
Oh,
every time he was on camera, I'm like, I'm just glad we have Rick back.
I know.
I'm just glad. I think that's where the last few seasons of the show kind of lost me, was when they got rid of Rick. I was kind of like, really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's only like two more seasons left, three more seasons. You're telling me he couldn't stick around for three more seasons?
I honestly think the core issue was that they weren't going to do two or three more seasons. In hindsight, sure, they did two or three more seasons. But like Andrew Lincoln, who's been living for a decade plus away from his family, like, I totally understand why he opted to leave. And I think that's why, look, like, let's be honest, The Walking Dead wouldn't have ended with the Commonwealth. That's why there's all these spinoffs. Like, they needed some fresh sort of focuses for the show. I don't think there's anything in an alternate universe where Andrew Lincoln didn't retire from the show because he missed being with his family. Like, I don't think the show was guaranteed to end after two or three seasons. Yes, they ran out of source material for sure, but I mean, I couldn't put it past AMC to keep going until forever. But I think you and I are on the same page. Like, Rick being on screen, it was my favorite part of this. Like, I know we got more of Michonne after Rick left, but I also miss Michonne as well. And I miss Rick and Michonne together. The reunion at the end of this episode, obviously there's no dialogue outside of, I think Michonne says, "I found you," basically. That's what she says.
Yeah.
But like, Rick doesn't know he has a son, with Michonne.
I thought he did. I thought he did know.
No. Now I'm trying to think, like, did he know she was pregnant?
I think he did.
Well, I guess we'll find out next episode.
I thought the kid was born. I thought the kid was like a baby or something.
I don't think so. Because like all the iPhones that he had that he burned, like, which I also thought, like, it was kind of funny he had multiples. Like, we only saw the one that he left on the ship, but all the iPhones were basically of Michonne and Judith. There was no representation.
You're right.
RJ. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, these characters have a lot to catch up on. A lot has happened. Rick doesn't know that some of his friends have passed away since he left, like through the whispers. And
even Michonne doesn't know everybody that's passed away.
And it'll be interesting to see. Has she been keeping in touch with Alexandra and the Commonwealth? And like, you know, does she send letters back? Like, we get the sense that she has an adopted daughter and a son back home that she wants to, you know, keep in touch with. So, but how easy is that to do? Like, we don't get that idea, but all of that likely to be revealed in the coming episodes. If you can't tell, both Lou and I have really enjoyed the season so far. Obviously it's just one episode.
Yeah, I will say something that I don't say very often, because I usually let them pile up, and I was like, I don't know if I might watch this week to week, but I think I'll probably wait until there's two episodes, and then I'll watch the first half and then the second half is probably the way I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, you have a general idea of what the second episode will be from a storytelling standpoint. So to let it build up at least two episodes to get like where the story is going forward after we catch up with these two characters and what they've been up to. I can totally understand that, but I am going to watch weekly because, like, I love these characters so much. They're telling a good story. It'll be interesting to see what happens and what story they tell with this limited number of episodes. But yeah, we'll continue to keep everybody in the loop for The Ones Who Live. As we said, we will be returning to The Ones Who Live once all the episodes are out. Although if Lou and I are watching week to week, we might provide some little spoiler-free thoughts and feelings. So stay tuned for that. But our main focus for the coming episodes, as we said at the top of the show, we'll be discussing 28 Weeks Later, since 28 Days Later is nowhere to be found. And we're pumped that 28 Years Later has finally been announced. There's also talk of a zombie asylum film on the horizon. Questioning our choices there, but we'll do it for the listeners. We've been watching a lot of good stuff. I think it might be time to go into the... I almost said the deep end, but like, I don't know. What would you call it? The crap end? Go into the crap end? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Crap end.
Yeah. Quarterly, we have to fulfill our duties of watching something that we know is going to be terrible and just have a good time with it. So it's part of the genre.
One word, asylum. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and a sequel. It's Aquarium of the Dead is what we're watching?
I believe so.
Fun if we just like looked up, so Aquarium.
Wouldn't it be funny if we both watched two separate movies and didn't realize it?
Yeah. No, I was going to say, what if we just looked it up and it's not available? It's like, oh, but it is. So in the States, you can watch it on Hoopla if you have that. Which is like a library digital service, or you can watch it on Showtime. So there you go. Lots of places there. In Canada, I can also watch it on Hoopla. So if you have a library card, you can watch Aquarium of the Dead.
Only if your library supports Hoopla. Mine doesn't.
That's true. Yours doesn't? Oh, mine does. Nope. That's how we watched, nope. What was that show we watched? The Dead, I think it was called. The Dead 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was on Hoopla. So there you go. And then, of course, we will be back to cleanse our palate with The Ones Who Live and the rest of that season. So a good chunk of content planned for the next 6 weeks. I hope you enjoy it as much as we do, at least with 28 Weeks Later and The Ones Who Live. So there you go. Lou, that's our show for this evening. I want to thank our patrons at patreon.com/zombiesatemypodcast. You can support the show directly there and allow us to rent such hits as Aquarium of the Dead, or in the case of me, a library card to watch it on Hoopla. You can also visit our website, visit zombiesatemypodcast.com for show notes and all our previous episodes. You can send us an email. We may read it on the show, info@zombiesatemypodcast.com. Join our Discord at bit.ly/ZampDiscord. It's the best place to connect with fellow listeners, as well as Lou and I. This has been Zombies Ate My Podcast, and as always, we close out the show with some fine zombie knowledge from the busy zombie lord himself. Take it away, Lou.
I'm going to dread watching this movie about an aquarium of the zombies. This is my payment for all the crap movies I made you watch way back in the day.
Well, it's not really my fault. I didn't choose it. It was posted in the Discord I guess it is my fault because I said, like, man, it's been a while since we've watched something truly horrendous.